So quick review. We're just going to look at 2 Philippians. We'll just read the first four verses just as a reminder of where we finished off. So Philippians 2, 1 through 4. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any affections and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than yourself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And I want us to just think just really quick. He says, from to them. So he wants them to do this. It brings him joy. It brings him joy to do this. And it brings him joy when the people that he taught do this. And I can imagine for Dean, the other Dean who does the preaching, that when he sees the fruits of his sermons through his congregation, that that brings him joy. You know, for the most part, we don't stand up here just to stand up here. It's the hottest spot in the building. I'm sweating already. You know, it's everybody's looking at you. But you do this work because you want to help people to serve God better, to make better choices, to do better things. And when you see that, so when we talk about something in a class and then you see it's exciting. So that's really all we want to talk about just from our review. So if you have any questions or comments from what we talked about last week, please feel free to raise your hand and ask them, and I'll make every attempt to pretend like I know what I'm talking about. We're going to go on now, and our class this morning is really going to be through about verse 24, but I don't know if we'll get there. But verse 5 through 11. Would somebody want to read that for me nice and loud? Verses 5 through 11. I'm just hoping for another translation. Go ahead.
What's your preference?
I'm in the New King James. New King
That's
James.
what I'm. Okay. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed. Sorry. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
All right. So 9 verse 6 says, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God.
6-3.
Excuse me. So what we're after, this whole class, the focus of this class, is to become Christ-like, Christ-minded. And so we read in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So many times we look at Jesus's example and we go, yeah, we'll never do it. We'll never get there. We'll never be there, right? And if we accept that, then that's probably a self-fulfilling prophecy. But we're supposed to be striving for that, aren't we? We're supposed to be reaching for that. And we look at what Christ did. How many times have you had the pity party where you kind of feel bad because of the things you think you're missing out on? Maybe your favorite team is playing right now. How many of you have to record the Super Bowl? I don't watch it, so I don't care. But when we come to services on Sunday night, and so what do? We miss the second half of the Super Bowl. We're like, oh, all those non-Christians, they this, they that. I have to be nice to the lady who's ringing up my groceries, who's in a bad mood. You know, I have to present myself. Sometimes we have pity parties. We feel like this is so much work. But then we see this example right here of Christ. And we're told that we need to have the mind of Christ. And what did Christ do? I mean, he gave up being with God in heaven and came down. And verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. So, putting it in our terms, I don't care what president you like or what president you're for, but could you imagine being president for 4 years or maybe for 8 years, and then after you get done doing that, working at McDonald's to pay the bills? Does that even seem feasible?
No.
I mean, not in our country, because we pay until they die. But
with exceptions.
With exceptions?
Jimmy Carter did exactly that same thing. He built houses for Habitat for Humanity, he and his wife. So it is possible.
It is possible to lower yourself, to be Christ-minded, right? But that's not what we see most of the time, is it? And that's just a tiny little example. I mean, Christ was in heaven, and he left that, and he came down, and he suffered as a man. Yes, Carol.
I've been thinking about this a lot, and it's not only that he came and suffered here, but God said, this day I make you my son. So even in heaven, he took a step down from being part of the Godhood, and stepped down to being a son, a place lower than God. So it started, his obedience started in heaven before he left and came here.
Yeah, and continue. I mean, when we look at his obedience, sometimes, well, all the time, we need to be ashamed, don't we?
Amen.
Don't we? Every person that stood in this pulpit will give you examples of the things that they struggle with in their life. Well, if I was an obedient son, would I struggle with those? They might be in my head, but I'm going to stay off my horn when I'm driving down the road, and maybe off your bumper. And you know, we're gonna make different decisions, aren't we? I'm going to ask you to do a little bit of reading, because we're told here to imitate Christ. So would somebody read Romans 15, 1 through 7 for me? Romans 15, 1 through 7. Who wants to read that? Go ahead.
Now we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, that the reproaches of those who reproach thee fell upon me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that thou, though perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, that wish one with one accord, you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God.
Okay, so what we read there, and this is kind of it's a conclusion of a thought over in Romans 14 that we've spent a fair amount of time on, about the eating of meat and the not eating of meat, and basically putting stumbling blocks in front of each other. And sometimes we grumble about that, right? Like, well, it's my right. I can do this. It's your problem that you don't like this. But is that a Christ-like attitude? You know, you don't believe that you can eat meat. And so every time I invite you over for a barbecue, I have steak. And no other options. Is that being Christ-minded? You know, there's so many different themes and we call them liberties. But if we're being Christ-minded, we're going to care. I'm going to care about you, and you're going to care about me, and we're going to work together on that. All right? And that's not to say, we'll do this as an aside, that's not to say that the weaker always wins. It's the stronger being patient with the weak. But if you're weak, and what I mean by weak is if you have a limited understanding of a certain thing and it drives you, it motivates you, right? You have to learn. You don't get to just camp in that spot of misunderstanding the scriptures and have the rest of the congregation bow down to you. We have a responsibility to teach others, right? That made a noise. When somebody reads 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1.
I wish that you would bear with me in a little foolishness, but indeed you are bearing with me.
Okay, so thinking like Christ. So mine says, imitate me.
I'm in the wrong chapter.
Okay.
Sorry, 1 Corinthians.
I was looking at mine trying to figure out what translation you were reading.
Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ.
Okay.
That sounds better.
That sounds better. That makes a little more sense with my notes. But like I said, I looked at them this morning and thought, I don't know what those are all about. 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. And read verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we'll read verse 9.
For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty may become rich.
All right. And 1 Thessalonians 1, 6.
You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation, with the joy of the Holy Spirit.
All right, thank you. So several verses there that we've read, just again reaffirming what's being said here, and let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. We need to be imitators. Not almost. We need to strive to be imitators of Christ. And if we're falling short, so let's say that there's areas that we struggle. What do we do? I'm just really struggling with X. Maybe it is, dealing with certain types of customers in my work. And I just, you know, I might put on a smiley face, but as soon as they leave, I say all kinds of bad things about them because they drive me nuts, right? maybe that's the thing that I'm struggling with. Maybe it's my impatience with you. Could be. How do I do that? How do I fix that? What do we do? Faith.
You search and see what God says about it.
Okay. Search and see what God says about it. What else? Follow.
I have a problem with this kind of thing, but I personally just say to myself, what right do I have to feel this way?
Yeah. Okay, so what right? I heard a lesson on forgiveness years ago, and it was at a youth lectureship, and there were all kinds of lessons, and these speakers at this youth lectureship, they just took different directions, and it was on forgiveness. So how do I forgive you when you've wronged me so severely? How do I do that? Right? And these kids, they wanted scriptures. So the entire sermon was on basically what we just read right here, Christ's suffering. So Christ left heaven, and he came to earth, and he suffered as a man. And then he suffered on a cross for you. And that is all the reason you need to let it go. That's hard, right? So, you know, there's, we can, sometimes we look at everybody here and we think they just, everybody just lived a happy childhood. But they didn't, did they? And I know I spent a lot of years coaching little girls, and it's tough. It's tough to see the things that they go through. And the same for little boys. And so bad things happen to us, right? Bad things happen to us, and we hold grudges, and we're like, how do I ever forgive that person? You know, and then there's, here's how my mind works. This is what you have to pray for me. I think if our government did what they were supposed to do to rapists, to child molesters, then I wouldn't have to forgive them because they'd be dead. But they're not dead, are they? They're here. They go to jail, they get out of jail, and they want to come back to church. And what do we have to do? Yeah. How do we do that?
We got to protect our kids, though.
We do have to protect our kids. And that's part of the safety.
You can be in community, but you have to protect the kids.
Yes, we're having a safety meeting next weekend.
I was raised in this church. And honestly, this is so weird because I know, like, women aren't supposed to speak in this church. The kids that I grew up with got so hurt at our church.
Women can speak all they want in our
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're fine. You raise your hand all you want.
Okay.
But the world's not a safe place, is it? But do I ever become Christ-minded and treat my brothers and sisters the way that I should treat them? When I hold on to that stuff, when I don't let that stuff go. Remember we were talking about looking through lenses? So if I take my lenses off, Eileen is still there, but she's really fuzzy, right? And so I can't see if Eileen's scowling at me or if she's smiling at me. And so because I can't see that, it affects our relationship. But if I put these on and I can see Eileen, I have a clearer vision, don't I? But when I hang on to all the ugly and the hurt, well, they didn't do this to apologize. They still do this, whatever. When I hold on to that stuff, it clouds my vision, doesn't it? It affects the way that I relate to my brothers and sisters. Because I'm hanging on, I call it baggage, right? And when we travel, I learned this, I thought about this when my mom died. We got to the airport, and I mean, it was a hectic day. We got a phone call, we got on an airplane, we flew to North Dakota. We got to North Dakota, all the family is there at the airport to pick us up, and it's an emotional time, and I had to go get my suitcase. And we had to stand around, and we had to wait, and disrupted the flow of the day. And I thought about, there wasn't anything in that bag I couldn't have put in a carry-on. So I have this baggage, and it slows me down. It affects my travel. And that kind of stuck with me, the things that I hang on to. Now, it didn't affect change in me until just recently. But when you're hanging on to hate, when you're hanging on to hurt, it's really difficult for us to move forward with that clear vision. Go ahead, Carol.
With finding scriptures when you're having a problem, you don't just poke and that's going to be the scripture for the day sort of thing. You need to talk to somebody, and ask them if they have scripture that you could go to. Ask them if they know somebody else who might have a scripture that might be better than them, because they might not have any. Because scripture and go to, and then you probably find somebody who's gone through this struggle and they can tell you how they walked through it. So
that's actually the direction I wanted to go is you guys are who I talk to. So I want to spend some time with this young lady back here. You talked. I'm going to talk to you. And so here's the thing, and this is an aside, but we're going to go ahead and address it, right? I think in any organization, in any church, right, you're going to have situations. And I'm not an elder, so I don't have to deal with all of the things that an elder has to deal with, which is why I'm not an elder. But we're all human, aren't we? And we're all fallible, and we're all foolable. Right? And we come to a place like this, and we put on our good face. And so unless we really get to know each other, we don't know each other. So we can have a pedophile, we can have a rapist, we can have a spousal abuser that puts on a good show, especially if the spouse puts on a good show also. And it can create problems like this. And I don't have all of the facts. You know, sometimes I've seen it happen in other places. That individual who's having problems goes to the eldership, and the eldership, there's somebody in there that's tight with this individual or whatever, and they don't, they're human. But what I can promise you when we sit down and talk is that these people here don't condone anything awful that happened to you or your family. Okay? And there are things that happen that we can't control. But what we don't want you to do is label. Right? Give us a chance. Because when certain individuals in this congregation talk about things that are painful, in class, they'll tear up, right? That's okay. That's okay. Because we love each other. We care about each other. We're striving. So this entire class series that we're on in Philippians is about us being more Christ-minded. And being Christ-minded, what that means is that I need to go to this young lady over here and hug her and tell her that I'm sorry for whatever happened. And help her learn that we're okay and that we love her, or will love her if she gives us a chance, right? So back to our lesson. Let's look, I'm going to read verses 10 and 11 again. So Christ did all these things, right? And then down here in 10 and 11 says, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What's that talking about? Does it happen now? Yeah. So right now in this world that we live in, not every knee bows to Jesus. Not every knee confesses Jesus. Not every voice praises Jesus. Some people don't believe in Jesus at all. Right? But they will. So here's where we take comfort, if that's the word that you want to call it.
Here's where we can draw strength.
Those individuals that commit atrocities, whether they are punished or not here on this earth, will 100% guaranteed answer for them. And that's how we get past it. Right? That's how we move forward. We can hang on to hate, and we can hang on to hurt, or we can just trust these two verses that those individuals will answer. right? Now, I don't know how all that works. We can read that Jeffrey Dahmer became a Christian before he was murdered in prison. I don't know. But I can't imagine that someone who committed those atrocities isn't going to have to answer for them. Okay? But we need to move forward, to develop the mind of Christ. We have to shelve that stuff. And we have to trust these verses that say, now, that being said, there's a problem that's going on, and you talk to somebody, and nothing's done, then you come talk to somebody else. And if nothing's done, then you come talk to somebody else. Because there's things that happen in this world that should never be hushed. And it doesn't matter if it's an elder, if it's the preacher, if it's a deacon, if it's just one of the men or the women of the congregation. We have to know. Not a gossip chain, but we have to know so that then we can take the steps that are necessary for that person to repent, because that's our goal as Christians, right? Those things are hard. You know, so far studying the mind of Christ has been easy. It's just been, I need to love you and you need to love me, right? So far that's what we've talked about. But is it easy? It's not easy. But what did Christ do? Came down from heaven, became a bondservant, suffered, right? So if our Lord and Savior, the one who shed his blood so that we have that hope of salvation, can do those things, can I do hard things? Right? Carol.
Forgiveness, as you say, is such a hard thing because God can forgive everybody of any sin. And when you look at it and it's affected you, it's hard to let go and to be able to forgive. But God gave us a pattern that tells us that they may be our enemy because of what they did. He tells us how to love our enemy. And so we are able, if not able to do anything other than to love a person as an enemy and treat them with respect and do what's best for them, we don't have to love them the way we love everybody else. But you have to remember, when you forgive, you put something as God puts it, as far away from east as to west. But if the accountant stole from the church and he repents and we forgive him, we're not going to let him be the accountant again.
He's not going to be account money anymore, is he?
But because we're not going to tempt him, mm-hmm. and we don't want to have people have bad feelings. So there's restrictions on what we set, but God doesn't set those kind of restrictions. So if Jeffrey Dahmer could repent and see the error of his way and be able to do that, then he's going to be in heaven like everybody else. It's hard for us to imagine that you could be that vile and still do it.
It is hard for us to imagine, yeah.
But God can do that.
We're given parables, and we got off topic, so... Well, I'm pulling them out of here. But the landowner goes out into the town and he gathers up workers early in the morning, right? And he said, I'll pay you this much to come work in my fields. Let's say it's a dollar. And then he goes out and a few hours later, because he's not getting enough work done, and he gathers more workers and he said, I'll pay you a dollar to come work in my field. And he does this throughout the day. And the people at the end of the day only have to come work in the field for 2 hours. And the person that was been working there for 12 hours sees him pay that person a dollar and thinks, well, if he got a dollar, I should be getting $7. And he gets a dollar and he grumbles, right? And what's the lesson of that? I promised you this. Don't worry about it. It's not your place. So we're given salvation. We are given salvation if we do these things. And verse 12 is going to tell us to work out our own salvation, and I'm not sure that we're going to get there. We might have to come back to this. But we're given salvation, and that's enough. We're all sinners. Every one of us. Now, I might not be as bad a sinner as Jeffrey Dahmer, but we are all sinners. And so who are we to say, well, they shouldn't be forgiven? That's why I say that's what you have to pray for me, because I think they should have been killed. And one of my struggles in life is what this young lady is talking about. As a safety guy, as a guy that is in charge of looking at this congregation and keeping them safe, we might have a forgiven pedophile come in. But they're going to meet me. And we're going to explain things very simply. Stay away from the children. You've been forgiven. And I'm going to love you as much as I can love you. And the best way I can love you is to help you not put yourself in a situation where I have to hurt you.
Yeah.
Right? I don't have to let them teach Bible classes. Ever. I don't have to let them in the cry room. But I do have to let them in the building. I do have to pray for their souls. Right? I do have to love the fact that God sacrificed himself so that that individual could go to heaven. And I have to remember that I'm a sinner. We want to classify them, right? We want to put them in categories. But I'm a sinner. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Huh?
We have to remember that Jesus Christ is the final judge, and that's a hard thing to do, especially when you're speaking about a person like Jeffrey Dahmer. But that his ability to know the truth about a person. We're all going to stand before the throne and be accountable for whatever we've done or not done while we're here on earth.
Yeah.
It's a work in progress for us.
And so what that should do is alleviate a burden, right?
It should.
It should alleviate a burden.
It's hard, though, isn't it?
It is so hard. It is so hard. But if I can just take a breath and say, I don't need to worry about that. Right? You know, when you're a young man in the congregation and you're friends with everybody and someone gets up and they're a great speaker and everybody loves them and you know their true side, and you just think, oh, you know, you just want to tell everybody about it, right? But if we can remember what Bob says, then we can just let it go. And if we can let it go, then we can move on to being Christ-minded, can't we? So these are things, you know, it's obviously the class didn't go the direction it was supposed to go, but I'm not sure I could have followed my notes anyway, so we're going to have to spend some time on it. But I think these things, when we're talking, I mean, it's good to be real, right? It's good to have real conversations. You know, we have to kind of keep it to where it's not a bashing session, just we're conceptualizing these things, we're trying to understand them so that we can develop that mind of Christ. I think it's been a worthwhile study this morning, if you will, and I'm going to stop at this point, and then we'll just pick up at verse 12. I really enjoyed studying what we're going to talk about, and then probably we'll get a little further than I was actually going to get today. But that's something that we need to think about, right? And as we're trying to develop the mind of Christ, we have these conversations, and then we ask ourselves, you know, how am I dealing with it? What am I doing? Am I moving forward? Follow.
One thing I've found in my life that I have to try to understand that there are things that are out of my control. And you know, I get frustrated about a lot of things, just like other people, politics and what's going on in the world. But only thing I can control is myself. I can't control my spouse. You can't control my kids. You know, but you need to find some peace of mind with that.
Yeah, I mean, we gotta work. I gotta work on me, right? I can't fix you. What I can do is help you while I'm working on me, right? But I have to remember. So this is important. So many times we go through struggles in our lives, and we feel like, man, no one understands. No one gets it. And sometimes that might be true. I will never understand a Jeffrey Dahmer. I don't want to. Right? I don't want to be inside that. You know? I will never understand that, but I can understand a lot of things that happen. But what I had to learn was I wasn't the only one that went through them. Right? And I didn't have a horrible child life. Let me just get that out there. But there were things. There were things that affect you and affect you. I'm not the only one who has struggles, but as Bob says, I'm responsible for me. So we have an election coming up. I don't care who you're voting for. It doesn't matter to me. But some are just freaking out, right? Well, it doesn't matter who's the president. It doesn't matter who's president. You know what matters? What matters is that you and I are striving to be what? Christ-like. Right. And that if we have a dictatorship, if we have a communistic regime, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. We have a responsibility to serve God, love our neighbor. Right? We also have a responsibility, looking back at verse 10 and 11, to help those that are out there to be on the right side of the line when judgment comes, because we're all going to face that judgment, every one of us. And it should matter to us that there are people that aren't living right, either because they don't know or because something horrible. I'm going to say this and then I'm going to preface it with, I'm not saying that you're not living right, but there are people that have had things that happen in the church to them, and they just leave the church, right? Because that's what we do. We don't want that. We want to help people. That's why we look around and we see who's here and who's not here. And then we pick up our phone or we knock on the door and we let people know. You know, we're striving to be, and it may take us forever to get through Philippians, but that's fine because Lenny needs a break. But we're striving to be Christ-minded. And to be Christ-minded, we're going to have to, as hard as it is, let some things go. And let God be the judge. And love our fellow man. Jesus loved people that wanted to nail him to a cross. Now, the difference between you and I is Jesus loved him knowing for 3 years that he was going to end up hanging on a cross. Could you do it? I would just go someplace else. So as we're trying to struggle through all these things and we're hanging on to things, we have to be reminded. We have to be reminded, and it's not easy. Because when I tell you, you've got to let it go, that's hard, right? I can't let it go. I'm so hurt. I'm angry, right? But ultimately, by hanging on so tight, to those things, we're affecting our salvation. And so that person that hurt us, right? They're continuing to hurt us. When we are kind and loving and we help those who hurt us, this is one that is probably wrong, but I take great comfort in. When you do these for them, what do? You heap fires of coal on them. They know they hurt you. And when you treat them the way God wants you to treat them, your way. Right? Carol, last comment.
One thing, you need to make sure that they know what they did, because even coals won't do anything. But I heard, saw a thing that said that anger is really grief. Grief maybe for what life was before, what life is after something that happened to you. And so your anger is not really addressing where the problem is.
Yeah.
And I thought that was...
I think it's good to look people in the eye and say you've earned. Now, I think it's good. I don't do that. I don't do that. So that's something that now I have announced that I need to work on. Well, yeah. So thank you for your participation in the class.